On your board, so it's okay.
I call the State Affairs Committee to order on Thursday, February 26, 2009. Please let the record reflect that the time is 9 a.m. Present are Senator Kukesh, Senator Myers, Senator Pasvan, and Senator French won't be able to attend, be with us today, and Senator Menard. Please, I would ask that you turn off all your cell phones and any electronic devices, or you'll have to buy us donuts this morning. Thank you. Allow me to tell you what the agenda is today. We will be hearing Senate Bill 29, naming Thomas B. Stewart Lead Office Building, and Senate Bill 49, Blood Donation Awareness Fund. And do we have people from that have signed up that I've... At this time, I would like to call Senate Bill 29's bill sponsor, Senator Elton, to tackle and to the table and state your name and your affiliation and...
Thank you, Senator Menard, members of the committee. I was sitting here feeling a little bit presumptuous that I was already at the table. I'm thinking, well, should I move back into a chair until I was invited up? And so thanks for not glaring at me for being here early, Madam Chair. My name is Kim Elton. Represent Senate District B, which is the community of Juneau, and the prime sponsor of SB 29. And I'm going to try and keep my remarks relatively brief, but I would invite any questions you might have at the end, because my understanding is the committee chair was interested in about a 5-minute video. And I can tell you that I think the video is going to be of Tom speaking about some of what he has done. It's going to be far more compelling than I can ever be. We'll just mention a couple of things. This bill names the Capitol Annex the Thomas B. Stewart Legislative Office Building in honor of Judge Tom Stewart, and recognizes his contributions to the state of Alaska. There are others that can speak more eloquently than I about what he has done, so I'm just going to kind of skim the top. Tom, lifelong Alaskan, he is one of the people. I will confess, I have this kind of gold standard. Before I take a vote, there's a handful of people that I think about, and I try to think, okay, how do I explain this vote to these people? And two of the preeminent people in that group were Bishop Kenney and Judge Tom Stewart. And both of them are gone now. But I always thought, you know, if I'm walking down the street and they tug on my sleeve and they say, why did you do that? You know, how would I explain it to them? And it has kept me out of an awful lot of trouble. Tom was a decorated war veteran. For the veterans amongst us, he served in World War II. He was a U.S. Army captain. He was a captain in one of the preeminent groups, the 10th Mountain Division Ski Troops. Using expertise that he developed here and while he was in school on the ski slopes. And he earned both bronze and silver stars, which are uncommon medals for veterans. Served as an assistant attorney general, served in the Territorial House of Representatives, where he really kind of put together the recipe for how we were going to move forward on statehood and get a good state constitution. In fact, he traveled around the country on his own dime, working with other states, with other experts, on what would be the basis for a good constitution for a brand new state. He also served as a state legislator in the first session of the Alaska legislature, served as a Superior Court judge. He is known and respected for his character, his wisdom, his leadership. I would note that hopefully in your packet, my understanding is that we have gotten an email from Chief of Staff Mike Nysick to Governor Sarah Palin saying that the governor supports the bill. And with the indulgence of the chair and members of the committee, I'd like to read a short email that I got yesterday, and I'm not sure whether it has been distributed yet or not, but it's from former Governor Steve Cooper. And his email just says, "I'm told there's a move to name an annex to the Capitol building after Tom Stewart. Count me as a supporter." Tom Stewart was, and here's a Latin term, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to pronounce it correctly. Tom Stewart was sui generis, a legal term that means one of a kind. Born in Juneau and coming of age as he did, he personified the history of Alaska from the 1920s until his death last year. He participated in most of that history and influenced events in a way that called up our better nature. Fortunately, the rest of us got to benefit from his wisdom and decency. We'll not see his like again. And I just couldn't say it any better than that. And Madam Chair, members of the committee, if you have any questions at all, I'll try to answer them here at the table.
Senator Kukish?
Just for the record, do we know of any other individual senator or representative who is submitting another name? Or is this the only name we know of that is being submitted?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, this is the only name that I'm aware of. I tell you, I struggled with this a little bit personally, because there are so many Alaskans on whose shoulders we stand. But I only struggled with this for an hour or so, because for me, I can't think of a better person. But I don't want to denigrate the contributions of so many other people. And we've named some of the committee rooms here for those folks that have served before us.
I just wanted to make sure that, through the chair, sorry, make sure that there wasn't any other bills going forward. I'm very supportive of this, and I just wanted to, for the record, have it.
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, this is the only bill.
Okay, then we can proceed. Is there any other questions, Senator Myers or Senator Paxton?
Madam Chair, I am going to give up my seat to my staff person who knows how to use the technology.
Would you like to identify yourself, please?
Kristen Brissett, staff to Senator Elton.
Thank you. Could you hit the lights, maybe? Thank you. Is that better? And people are welcome to move up closer.
Territorial Representative Tom Stewart is a young former Assistant Attorney General.
I decided that there wasn't really anybody in Alaska who knew much about how to set up, structure, and operate a constitutional convention. So I made a 6-week-long trip across the country. Everywhere I went, I said, qualified advisors help you work on the subject of the Constitution. And we decided on a convention of 55 members that would give us the opportunity to have better spread. The net result was that the convention was the most representative body that had ever been assembled in a governmental function in Alaska. We had people from Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, Juneau, Hayes, Valdez, Cordova, Kodiak, Gillingham, Palmer, Little Creek, Noel,
Hopkins. Little technical difficulties on the sound.
Moved for statement by proving we could write it.
Thank you.
utilization, development, and conservation of all natural resources belonging to the state, including land and waters, to maximum benefit to its people. You'll find that in the end of the Constitution.
Through the dark days of December and January.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to be the audio piece and maybe explain as we go along a little bit?
Support staff.
What these,
minutes and notes.
That might be helpful.
Draw information into daily reports. Drafts of articles, revisions of drafts were distributed along with Tom Stewart's background.
Madam Chair, I mean,
the pictures are wonderful in itself, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you do want to inject anything.
I think the only thing I want to say is this might be Tom Stewart's fault. He was such a gentle, unassuming person. He was never loud. So this may not be technology.
That's a great recovery.
Yeah, but Vic was. Yeah.
This is Vic Fisher.
He was loud.
He was.
This must be the Constitutional Convention.
It is. Yeah.
That's Katie Hurley.
Katie Hurley.
And she's saying good things about Tim Stewart?
The Constitution of the State of Alaska is a model. And it's a model because it has the heart
John
of
Cog.
Jack
Cogburn.
Jack Cogburn.
Jack.
The language must be sing.
Words have to sing.
In retrospect, I think we did as good a job as could have been done. It was a gamble we couldn't leave. We had to take because we wouldn't get another opportunity.
George Rogers.
Why?
Was an advisor.
Rather a miracle that it happened the way it did. The Constitution was not put together by experts outside. It was put together by people that had their heart from Alaska.
Madam Chair, thanks for the indulgence of the committee. I apologize. The sound could have been better, but you know, in some ways, I don't know what you can say about those times. And in many ways, I think the visuals convey a lot of what happened and portrayed a lot of the people that really did get our state going and whose recipe for the state has stood the remarkable test of time. And I just would once again close my comments by suggesting that in a very, very large way, that was because of the preparatory work that was accomplished by Judge Tom Stewart and a few others. It made what happened in Fairbanks go much more easily, and it created a wonderful document that still is guiding Alaskans' lives. And with that, if you have any further questions, but the bill is very straightforward. There are other people that are on the list to testify who I think can also humanize what had happened and talk better in a more coherent manner about the judge himself. Thank you.
And I did want to give everybody in the audience an opportunity because I know he was an outstanding person, and so there'll be an ample opportunity to come forward and state your name and say what you have to say on behalf of the family and naming of the Capitol Annex. Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members.
Maybe now we'll go, if it's the committee's wish, we can go to Vic Fisher, who's off net. Vic?
Yes. Thank you very much for giving me a chance to wade in on this. Yeah. I couldn't hear what preceded me, but I kept hearing Tom Stewart's name and the Constitutional Convention, and I just want to add my strong support for naming the Capitol Annex for Tom Stewart. I'm from Anchorage, Right now I'm in Fairbanks. Last night I spoke to a UAF class on leadership, and I talked about the Constitutional Convention and described the kind of principal participants we have, particularly Bill Egan and Tom Stewart, and emphasized the phenomenal job that Tom did as the preceding speaker had said in laying the basis for the Constitutional Convention. And of course, I could write a book about that, and in fact I did already. But I also want to emphasize that career as to Bowen.
I think
to branch and sort of throughout his life, he was dedicated to making this a better state and a better world. And I won't take your time. I just want to suggest that anyone who has any question about Tom Stewart's contribution to Alaska, to the state, they ought to look at the memorial service that was held in Juneau last April, that was a wonderful overview of Tom Stewart's life in public service, in military service, in personal service, and his contribution to the community of Juneau itself. Anyway, I fully endorse SB 29 and urge you to approve it. I'll be happy to respond if there are any questions.
Thank you. We just want to comment. I'm sure I share the sentiments of the full committee here at State Affairs that we're aware and appreciative of the phenomenal job you also did, Vic, too, with this Constitution. Thank you so much for testifying on behalf of Mr. Stewart.
Well, thank you very much, and best wishes and for your legislative session to all of you. I'll ring up. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other member that? Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Bruce Botello. Would you like to come forward, the Honorable Mayor of Juneau?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the record, my name is Bruce Botello. I do serve as mayor, and it's in that capacity, as well as a personal one, that I appear before you today in strong support of SB 29. Senator Elton has already outlined, I think, in some detail, Tom Stewart's varied life. I'd like to put some spin, and I'd like to focus a little more on his contributions with regard to the Constitutional Convention. He was a war hero, and he served both in the Aleutian and Italian campaigns. One of the things that I think, even if you set aside his Constitutional Convention role, makes him fairly unique in Alaska's history is that he is one of a handful of individuals who served with distinction in all three branches of our government. He started as an assistant attorney general. He served in the 1955 Territorial House, the first state Senate, and he was a Superior Court judge, but he was also the first state court administrator before he was appointed to the judgeship in Juneau and became the presiding judge for the first judicial district. I think that in itself distinguishes him, but I think for all of us, his role in the Constitutional Convention is probably the most significant. And I want to spend a little more time about it, partly because it's an opportunity, I think, to share a little more about the history. In the 54 elections, and we held those at Territorial Days in October. One of the predominant themes was statehood for Alaska, and there was a sweep in terms of candidates being elected who supported statehood. And when the majority caucus of the incoming legislature gathered in Alex Miller's home in Fairbanks in 1954, in later October, they decided that a constitutional convention would be their top priority. And they turned to Tom Stewart as a freshman legislator to take on the task of carrying the ball. And Tom resigned his position as an assistant attorney general and took off on November 2nd of 54 and traveled for the next 7 weeks to meet with scholars and politicians around the country to learn about how to go about organizing a constitutional convention. He put together papers that tried to answer the questions about what kind of research was going to be required, what sort of staff there should be, where should the convention be held, how should the delegates be selected, and how should the convention committees be organized. And when the legislature convened in Juneau in 1955, Stewart was named to be the chair of the House Statehood and Federal Affairs Committee. Bill Egan was his counterpart in the Senate, and they decided during the course of the session that they would meet as a joint committee. And Tom Stewart was the chair of the committee, and under his leadership, ultimately what passed was the committee substitute for House Bill 1, which became the session laws Chapter 46 for 1955, and it called for the convention. And it had first a requirement that there be a special election in September for delegates, that it be nonpartisan, that it be developed in a way that areas large and small in the territory would be represented, which was in somewhat of a stark contrast to how the territorial legislature itself was selected. Of course, it was partisan. It was done by judicial district, and virtually the major cities dominated in their representation. The decision was made that out of that bill that it be convened at college and be 55 delegates, that it be limited to 75 days. And one of the final things was an appropriation of $300,000 for the convention, and which was a princely sum at the time. And the only reason that money was appropriated, that amount, was an understanding that was reached between the House committee chair and other members that Tom Stewart would have to assume the executive directorship of the statehood committee and be responsible for all the pre-convention studies and expenditures. And again, he immediately focused on that at the end of the session and spent the next several months trying to inform Alaskans about how constitutional conventions operated, what kind of research, again, would be required, trying to get a sense through town meetings around the territory what people were really looking at for their government. He wrote numerous articles that were published around the state, and then tried to resolve the logistics issues that were going to face the convention years once they got to Fairbanks, taking care of housing, the plenary sessions, making sure there were committee breakout rooms, who should be the consultants, who should be the staff. And so when they convened finally in November at college, it was no surprise that Tom was elected to be the convention secretary and, in essence, the chief of staff for the convention, responsible for all the record keeping, journals, tracking all the proposals, and managing the consultants. And anyone who's had responsibility managing consultants knows that that is a major task. Well, they got their job done. They did it in the allotted time. The Constitution was ratified 2 months later, in April of 1956, and as you know, it took another 2 years for us to gain congressional approval for statehood and admission finally on 50 years ago, January 3rd. There are other heroes of the convention. We had one of them online a moment ago. and in the larger picture, other heroes in terms of Alaska's statehood movement. But I would say that Tom's painstaking efforts to make sure that over several months we would be poised to have the kind of convention and ultimately the product, the Alaska Constitution, which today remains a model of modern governance. We owe that to his background work, the care and thought organization, and brilliant mind of Tom Stewart. In short, Madam Chair, naming the Capitol Annex after Tom Stewart is a very appropriate tribute to his contributions to Alaska, our great state. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Patel. Next in the audience, I believe, is Marie Darlin. Would you like to come forward? Please state your name and your affiliation. Thank you.
My name is Marie Darlin. I'm a lifelong Junoite, and I'm speaking today for myself. And I have a letter here, which I have copies for all of you. This is in support of naming the Masonic Temple Capitol Annex for Judge Thomas Stewart. And if you don't mind, I'll just read this. Judge Stewart, as many people addressed him over the years, was still just Tom to all of us who grew up in Juneau. He was a friend we all valued. Our historical society always knew we could call Tom if we needed help about almost anything or anyone. He kept in touch with everyone and always had the latest address should you need it. The Pioneer Book Committee considered him our historical consultant. My call for help or confirmation of a fact or a date always ended up with a wonderful conversation describing everything I needed to know or that I should have remembered, plus a few humorous comments. The state of Alaska and Juneau have benefited from the lifetime contributions of Thomas B. Stewart. And those of us who called him Tom were honored by knowing him. We miss him and his smile and will always remember him. And I'm signing this as a third generation Junoite. And I also want to add that I think that when this building is named, it will be nice that Judge Diamond and Judge Stewart will be across the street from each other.
Thank you, Marie, for your testimony. Next, we have Kate Stewart. Would you like to come forward? Part of his legacy, and state your name, please, and your affiliation.
My name is Caleb Stewart. I guess I'm here for myself and in some ways for the family. Appreciate you guys considering the bill, you folks. Lots have been said. I wanted to throw in real quick through the chair for Mr. Kukesh that Bob Henning always called him Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
Not Tom. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of folks supporting the bill in a way of honoring my father. And I want to just try just another little tack to put on the table because I think it's important also. Thought whether or not to go down this route or not. I was at a memorial several weeks ago and regretted not doing it that then, so I'm going to do it now and read a portion of a letter that a private in my father's company sent him. And a little background, when my dad became reacquainted with this private in the early 80s at a 10th Mountain reunion convention, the first thing Sherm Smith said to my father was, "I hated officers," and turned his back and walked away. They became fast, you know, they became friends later and spent quite a bit of time together, but that was their reintroduction. But he sent this letter to my dad one day and said, "I see by the Northwest Chapter's reunion meeting notes of June 6th that you'll be conducting a memorial service for the unlucky ones who fell during our 1943 adventure. I failed to see what all the fuss is about. These people have been memorialized along with all the rest of our fatalities in plaster and bronze and print and word of mouth from Paradise to Castle Diano and back to Fort Drum. Let us understand at the outset, these memorials, as with funerals, have nothing to do with the dead. Alas, they cannot be reached. We employ them to make the living more comfy. Enough already, Tom.
And, you know, I think that's important that, you know, Dad isn't here, obviously, but we are, and a lot of what we do with these things is for us and future generations. And that's kind of one of the main point I would like to make, that I was just walking through the hall on the way up here and heard a young staffer say to her, "Senator, who's Thomas B. Stewart?" And, you know, hopefully when we do these things, you know, that you know, I stop and reflect on Terry Miller, you know. I mean, how many people know Terry Miller? But I do, not just because I was here and around him, but, you know, it's one of those things you see the name and you go, oh, well, maybe I should go look at who Terry Miller was and what did he do and why did he do it. And hopefully when we do things like this, put someone's name on a building that's, you know, that people don't just walk by and that's the end of it, because we are slowly losing, you know, the generation that built the state, you know, and all of us are going to move on. And so when we do this sort of thing, hopefully that's part of what comes about from these efforts is, you know, the generations remember who people were and what they did and why they did it and what it means to them. So I think that's about it. I, of course, support the bill, too.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I personally feel, too, every time we name a building after a great Alaskan, it's a history lesson, because children will come up and say, who is Thomas? Who is Judge Thomas Stewart? And spending so much time on the school board in a previous life from this new job, the schools, we'd name the schools, and we'd oftentimes take a colonist or someone, and then there'd be opposition. Why don't you name it after a street? And I'd always say, well, why not have this history lesson? And I just really appreciate that we're going to get this opportunity to just honor your father, hopefully, if that's the way the committee goes. Well, so thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we have Nancy DeCherney, I believe. Is Nancy in the audience? Would you like to come forward and state your name and your affiliation?
My name is Nancy DeCherney, and I live here in Juneau, grew up in Haines, and I am the director of the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and I just want to add our support for this, as the Stewart family also, along with all of the things that they did for the state, statehood commission and all that, significantly contributed to the arts and humanities in this community, and very important. So we support that. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. I believe we have one more person that has signed up, but I will allow an opportunity if anyone else in the audience wants to come forward. Michelle Fendona?
Sodomy.
Hi, Madam Chair. My name is Michelle Seideman, and I'm here as a private citizen and longtime admirer of the accomplishments of the late Judge Tom Stewart. There are some people that it is simply an honor to know. Tom Stewart was one of those. For me, he set the gold standard for goodness and human decency. In the deepest sense of the word, he was a public servant. He devoted his life to serving his country, his state, his community, his family, and his extraordinarily large circle of friends. I doubt anyone has ever compiled a complete list of the boards and commissions on which Tom served and which he chaired, or the organizations to which he contributed considerable time and money, or the individuals to whom he personally lent a hand. Tom was a marvelous, highly principled, and generous person. He was a consummate gentleman. I believe it is a fitting tribute to the founding, or one of the founding fathers of our state, to name the Capitol Annex after him. It will be a small and daily reminder of his very great contributions to a state he deeply loved. And I thank you very much for hearing this bill and moving it out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Is there anyone else online, Lori? Is there anyone else in the audience that would like an opportunity? Jenny, do you...
All right, Jenny.
Come forward, state your name. And
I'm Jenny Dawson, and I'm representing myself. Just to say that I had the privilege of living next door to Tom for the last 15 years of his life, and he was the most decent human being I've ever known. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. That says a lot. Thanks, Jenny. At this time, if no one else is going to come forward, I will officially close public testimony, and we'll have discussion amongst the board members, the committee members.
I'm in favor.
Yeah, I'm okay. Okay. I'm convinced.
Well, if it's the will of the committee, we can move this bill out of state affairs. It will still have finance. Do I hear a motion?
Madam Chair, thank you. I move that this committee move Senate Bill 29 from the committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Okay, is there any objection? Okay, we'll take a brief at ease then. Thank you very much. Next, we're going to deal with on the agenda Senate Bill 49, Blood Donation Awareness Fund. And we have people on off-net with the LIO, as well as people in the audience that have stand up. Now I'll bring the committee or the sponsor, please forward, state your name and affiliation, and we'll learn about the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. I feel like I'm before you a lot, and I think it's I miss this committee, miss chairing it. So I'm just introducing legislation so I can come before you and feel like I'm a part of it. Senate Bill 49 is a bill that is aimed at helping Alaska make fellow Alaskans more aware of blood donation opportunities that they have to help other Alaskans in need. 5 years ago, I passed a bill, House Bill 331, when I was in the other body, that created, among other things, it created a whole new organ and tissue series of statutes and so on. But in it, we created the Organ and Tissue Donation Awareness Program. And it was an idea that came from Life Alaska. They had difficulties in raising money and raising awareness about the gift of life, but were finding that when they could get to people and talk to them about it, that Alaskans seemed very generous and very interested. We changed, just on that point, Madam Chair, because it's sort of relevant to where Alaska's moving. Our system at the time was very disjointed, and being at such a new state, people were registering to donate organ and tissues, but they were getting little cards that were separate from their driver's license. And unfortunately, most Alaskans didn't understand that they then had to go themselves and connect into a registry. So we were walking around with these cards and there was no connection. So the overall package created a system and authorized volunteers, those that want to donate organ and tissues, to sign up at the time that they receive their driver's license. That little heart that you get on it is a result of that bill. And the idea was to create a registry that was managed by the state of Alaska, so that when you made that registration known, that you were put into a system right there and then that could be tracked. And what we were finding is that when people were in accidents and in need of organ and tissue, valuable life-saving organs, the information wasn't readily available. So we have a state-of-the-art system in Alaska and something to be very proud of. We have that system, and it is the Division of Motor Vehicles that manages that for us. Oftentimes people say, well, you know, is that an appropriate use of state dollars and a state agency to sort of be that place that houses that information? But again, it's a volunteer program, and we appreciate the hard work of the DMV individuals that do it. There really is no other natural place to house that database, so we appreciate it. So now we're asking to expand that to blood donation awareness as well. So at the time that you receive your driver's license, under the state law right now, you are offered an opportunity to voluntarily participate in organ and tissue donation. If you do, you get the heart on your license. If at any time, Madam Chair, after you decide to remove your name from the registry, you will be. At the same time, say it again.
Okay, Senator Kucinich has asked.
At any time you want to remove your name from the registry, you will
be. You will be removed. And to my knowledge, that hasn't, no, semi, thank you, through the chair.
Death penalty.
Yeah, this, you're still on death penalty. Thank you, through the chair, Senator Kukesh. Your name will be removed from the system, and that's just to make it clear that it's volunteer. Yeah. We don't want Alaskans feeling like they have to be a part of it. We're hoping they will. So at that time, you are offered a chance to be an organ and tissue donor. You're also asked if you'd like to donate $1 to what we coined the Donate a Dollar program, the Anatomical Gift Awareness Fund. And last year, that program generated over $55,000, which was appropriated to Life Alaska Donor Services for the purpose of promoting anatomical gifting in the state of Alaska. The program has been administered by the DMV. It facilitates and encourages public giving and helps provide a service that would otherwise very likely be paid for out of government funds, which, as we know, are ever dwindling in the economy right now. Senate Bill 49 creates an identical program for blood donation. Organ donations are not the only thing that are in short supply in Alaska. Annual blood donations are not enough currently to keep up with the amount of life-saving blood Alaskan hospitals use each year. In 2008, more than 25,000 blood donations were made to the charitable not-for-profit, I want to emphasize, Blood Bank of Alaska. While those numbers affirm Alaskans' generosity in donating blood, they're still not enough, Madam Chair, to keep pace with the needs that we have. Alaska's blood supply runs on perilously thin margins most days. In 2008 alone, the Blood Bank of Alaska had to order 1,159 units of blood products from the lower 48 to meet its inventory needs. Senate Bill 49 is not going to be the silver bullet. We don't envision that we're saving the world through this piece of legislation, Madam Chair, but we do think that much like its counterpart in organ and tissue donation, that we will save Alaskan lives by increasing valuable dollars that go into blood donation awareness and the need that Alaskans have for that. It's truly a gift of life, and I would appreciate this committee's support for the bill.
Okay. Are there any committee members that have any questions from the sponsor of the bill? Okay, Senator Kukesh.
I was wondering if under this program, if this program was eligible for charitable giving under the permanent fund. That we're looking at, or, I mean, it seems to me like this bill ought to have a little amendment that says that you'll also be have the charitable gaming at the permanent fund. Yeah, a little box for all the charitable charities in Alaska. Why can't we just say that this would also be expanded to that?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, that's an excellent idea, and we have staff online from the Blood Bank of Alaska to answer what efforts they've made to being on that list. But that's a great idea.
Okay, thank you.
I would support that.
Yeah,
I think that'd be.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator McGuire. This is a good bill. Concerned on the mechanics of it. On page 2, line 15, we talk about money in the fund may be appropriated by the legislature to an organization. I would imagine you had to put maybe, because if you say it shall, then that's a dedicated fund. But is that a concern of yours, that maybe the legislature wouldn't appropriate it where you want it to be appropriated to?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, it's a great question. And you being the former co-chairman of finance know that we are not allowed constitutionally to dedicate funds. So you have to be a little bit more creative when you look at creating these kinds of funds. We're allowed to say maybe, and yes, I can tell you that I have concerns. I keep watch over the organ and tissue fund every year to be sure that money is appropriated on to Life Alaska where it needs to be. And I worry that the day which will arrive at some point that I'm not here in these walls, that that will happen. All I can say is that we tried to make it very clear that the purpose of the fund is, you know, to promote the dissemination of valuable information about being a blood donor, and we hope that the legislature will continue to do that. But unfortunately, because of our Constitution, our hands are tied in how we can direct the monies.
Okay. Well, sounds like you're just going to have to stay here for a while. Make sure the money gets appropriate.
Or leave it up to you, you all.
Okay, thanks.
I too, feel that that's an excellent comment, because as you know, Diane Kaplan from Rasmussen was very successful in getting that. So anybody that got a PFD could click and go to their favorite nonprofit. And, of course, with a little bit of the right media exposure and knowledge out there to the citizens of Alaska, that could possibly be an avenue for this as well. But are there any other questions? We can go ahead and maybe ask if we get, Senator Pasvan.
I make the comment that I think that if we're asking the public to donate money for a specific purpose, that we are receiving, the state would be receiving the money more as a trustee as compared to a donation to the general fund. I mean, this is, you know, for a specific purpose, and so we are receiving the money, the charitable contributions of individual Alaskans, and we're acting more in the trustee capacity and then making distributions as a trustee to those organizations. So, I mean, I don't think that this is ever general fund money. This is monies that are people are saying, I want it to go to blood. And so I think that that's a distinction that I make. It's not just tax revenues coming in.
Through the chair, Senator Pasvan, you bring up a very interesting point. And we, the first year that the donated dollar for anatomical gift awareness money came in, it was $65,000, and it hadn't been appropriated. And in my office, we went to work, you know, to dislodge that money. And it was a very similar argument that we used, that the member of the public who made that donation expected it to go toward that purpose and certainly not for any other purpose, and we were successful. It caused me to really go down a philosophical path of thinking that if you did create a dedicated fund under the auspices of a trust, if you will, that it's very likely that a challenge to it would survive constitutional muster for the very reasons that you argue. But I chose to create it this way just so that there wouldn't be any confusion or any challenge. But you bring up a really good point, and it's something to think about more broadly about whether we want to have a section of the statute that allows the state to serve as trustee for certain funds such as this. And in turn, allow them to be dedicated so that their uses and the public trust will be preserved. It's a broader question, and I don't know, maybe Senator Meyer has comments on it. I don't know if those discussions have ever gone on at the finance table.
Senator Meyer.
I think unless somebody's watching this money, that the money can and will be used in the general fund, unfortunately. But like, you know, Senator McGuire is watching this fund, and so she makes sure it gets appropriated to the right place. But I think there's some other programs, like the license plates that say kids on it. I think a lot of people think when they buy that money's going to kids programs, and I think we'd find it's probably not. So, this is the only way you can do it, because we cannot dedicate the funds.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I invite you to keep thinking about it. Using your legal mind, and I will too, because I'd be open to inserting language in here that would more broadly, establish a section of the statutes that are for funds held in public trust for the specific purpose of that. But I just don't know what the parameters are. So for now, at least this accomplishes our mission, but that broader question is a good one.
Would you do us the kindness, please, of just sitting there while I bring on this gal from the blood bank? Her name is Margaret Baker. Margaret?
Hello, I'm Margaret Baker. I'm Chief Operating Officer, and I'm speaking for the Blood Bank of Alaska.
Would you care to comment on this bill in front of us, please?
There was a question earlier that I didn't hear. And it sounded like there was a response from me would have been appropriate.
the recall?
It may have been about the permanent fund.
Oh, yeah.
Getting on a list somewhere.
It's what we were referring to was the we passed legislation this last year that allows for Alaskans to check the box or click on a website to donate a portion or all of their permanent fund dividend to their nonprofit charity of choice.
Right.
And to that end, I don't know if Blood Bank, if Jack has made any application for that or looked into it.
Yes, we were successful in getting our name added to the list, and we're very happy about the opportunity. We're anxious to see how that turns out this year.
Great.
In terms of the bill itself, and knowing my role at the Blood Bank of Alaska is in daily operations, I'm involved with daily management of the inventory and scheduling of collections. And so I'm very intimately aware of the struggle of trying to be sure that we have enough of every blood type to serve Alaska needs. And so, and I know that one of the biggest struggles that we have is that we are dealing with a donor pool that is constantly changing as older donors or donors travel, are deferred, or donors who become ill and are unable to donate. We're trying to, we're in the constant process of trying to replace those donors and then to also get them to come back and donate again and continue to be a dedicated blood donor. As an organization, we spend a lot of time and energy and money making sure that that happens so that we, on the distribution end, have enough blood to send the hospitals throughout the state.
Is there any committee member?
I was just going to say, too, that we manage our inventory by minimum and maximum levels that we'd like to see, with a target somewhere in the middle that would allow us to have a 5-day blood supply if we hit the target. And that we think that that's really important for Alaska because of our location. It's not an easy thing to call the lower 48 and to get blood here right away. It isn't always available. There are transportation issues that, cause us problems. And so we really want to make sure we're in the position to be available or to be ready to distribute any blood type that would be needed for a trauma or surgery or just for regular stock in our hospitals.
Okay, thank you, Margaret. Do any committee members have any question of Margaret?
No.
If not, we'll ask Senator Pascavan to speak to what's on his mind.
Sure. If someone puts a check on the permanent fund dividend, is that tabulated by the permanent fund corporation and then directly sent to the organization? So in other words, this is, you just collect it similar. In other words, I'm troubled by the fact that if somebody thinks that they're giving a dollar for blood and it's going to go to a road somewhere because a legislature thinks they know more what to do with that dollar than the citizen that thought they were donating a dollar. I mean, that would kind of, I think people get mad at that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
Senator,
I'm 100%
right
behind this, but I don't want government to get their hands on it.
Yeah.
I want the blood bank to get their hands on it.
Absolutely. And we do have someone from the DMV. I'll go to Senator Meyer here next, but then we'll bring Whitney Brewster online, please. Okay, Senator Meyer?
I'll wait till after Ms. Brewster.
Whitney, are you on the line?
Yes, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. I would like to preface my testimony by stating that I strongly agree with the spirit of SB 49 to bring attention to blood donation. I believe is extremely important, and I commend Senator McGuire for her efforts to make that happen. I would, however, like for the committee to consider the impact of the legislation on the DMV and its customers. Mm-hmm. DMV representatives currently, when someone walks up to the counter, it is required to ask the individual if they would like to register to vote or if they would like to update their voter registration. They're also required by law to ask the individual if they want to be an organ and tissue donor. They are also required to ask if the individual wants to give to the Anatomical Gift Awareness Fund. SB 49 would obviously require the DMV representative to ask an additional question to give money to the Blood Awareness Fund, the Blood Donation Awareness Fund. It's just important to note that due to increased requirements, the transactions are taking longer and longer. And with limited state resources, I think it's imperative that the DMV be able to focus on its core services and move individuals quickly and efficiently through its doors. The DMV's core mission is to assist people with license and vehicle transactions, and it is of concern to me that we are requiring the DMV to ask an additional question of someone who is trying to get a driver's license or vehicle transaction completed. It's also of concern to me that we are asking on behalf of a charitable organization to give money, and who is to say that this cause is more important than another one? And what I do not want to happen is for the doors to be open for other charities that may be very, very commendable to have an opportunity to use the DMV to raise funds. It's been my experience in the short time that I've been at the DMV that people want to get in and get out of the DMV as quickly as possible. So I just ask that you consider that when looking at this legislation. I know that the Blood Bank of Alaska is on the charitable giving program list for the PFD. I do think that is a great location for that because people typically apply for their PFD from the comforts of their own home, and they can take all the time that they need to go through the list of very, very worthy charitable organizations to see if they want to give. Commissioner Kreitzer has asked each of the Department of Administration directors to really look at the core services that we're providing and to focus on those core services, particularly with dwindling funds. And so I just ask that the committee consider that. I am committed to working with Senator McGuire on a workable solution, and with that I'll conclude my comments and I am available for questions.
Okay, thank you, Whitney. And of course, I know you recognize that you have a register that's up to date with addresses, and so it's very tempting for us to go through the DMV because then for sure we'll know we'll get the job done with current information. But at this time, I'm going to let Senator Meyer ask a question of you, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Brewster, for your comments. And I think you bring up some very good points in the sense that this is probably better as a PFD checkoff because, where do you draw the line? I mean, if STAR now wants to also have you ask, will you, donate to Stand Together Against Rape or to the Boys and Girls Clubs or to the Veterans Clubs,
Key Coalition.
Yeah, Key Coalition, all those different groups. Pretty soon, and believe me, I'm a fan of DMV, and I think you've done a marvelous job there of improving customer relations and as far as getting people in and out of there. And I know when we task you with these additional things, it just makes it just slows you down and slows your staff's productivity down. And you're doing a marvelous job with the currently, the last thing I want to do is slow you guys down. But I do believe the blood bank is probably, or blood donation is probably appropriate for DMV, because whether we like it or not, a lot of blood gets used via traffic accidents and vehicle use. So I think it is appropriate in this case. I do notice, though, in your fiscal note, you don't add any additional costs for like staff or manpower. The only additional cost you have is $5,000, which appears to be just to modify your computer system. Is that correct, or am I not reading this right?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, it is what you see in the fiscal note is strictly for changing the DMV's database. It's very difficult to quantify really how much additional time it would take to ask the question, does someone want to give to the Blood Donor Awareness Fund? I do want to point out, Senator Meyer, though, that this bill, and it's my understanding that this bill is merely establishing the fund. It is the fund for blood awareness. It's not to provide any information on the person's license or ID card that they are indeed a blood donor. This would be simply to ask to establish the fund and to ask the individual if they want to give to the fund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my understanding as well. I want to thank you for the good job that you're doing there at DMV. I think you're the only state agency that we have that actually makes the state makes the state money rather than spending money. So thank you for the good job that you do there.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone else have a question of Whitney? And how about the maker, the sponsor of the bill?
No. Through the chair, Whitney, thank you so much. You've been, I appreciate your work. Your hard work and that of the men and women that take care of us every day. And I'm cognizant of all the comments she made, and that's purposefully why we have not directed how DMV would do it. And I know Whitney has come back with some creative ideas about having it on their website when people renew online, as opposed to having it when you come in person, that there are some methods of implementing it. But I actually have a question for the blood bank, and Whitney's comment spurred a thought. Are there others, would there be any value when you do register as an organ and tissue donor to having any kind of a separate registry for blood? And I guess I'm just wondering if there are other states that have that model, or if you could see any benefit to increasing donation that way. Are you there?
Whitney?
No, not Whitney, but the blood bank.
I'm sorry, this is Margaret Baker.
Margaret
from the blood bank.
Baker.
Margaret, did you hear the question?
I did.
Okay.
In terms of a state registry?
Yeah.
Would there be a benefit? I think that there is a benefit in knowing which people in the state would be interested in becoming a blood donor or finding out more information about being a blood donor. And then certainly we would love to contact those people. You know, we try many different avenues in terms of media approaches and public presentations and going out to places of work, et cetera. And so any new inroad to an interested blood donor would be good for us.
Think about.
And Senator McGuire, are there other states that currently have this in place, and have they been successful?
Madam Chair, I'm going to look into the issue of the registry itself. I don't know the answer. There are other states that do awareness funds, donate a dollar funds. I can't list any of them off the top of my head, but that was where we got the idea. And yes, they're always successful. And I would just point out that while the checkoff will be beneficial, you can see just last year alone, Life Alaska generated $55,000 from this fund. That shows you there are 55,000 Alaskans that said that they would give to this. And so there's a couple of things about it. I mean, first of all, Representative Meyer pointed to the link of car accidents and the need for organ and tissue and blood. Secondly, at that moment that you're asking someone to participate, there's a whole awareness that's created at that minute. And then finally, they have always been successful. These donated dollar programs, they're wildly successful.
Okay.
For our small state and our small state funds. Okay. $55,000 is a lot of money to an agency like that.
Okay. Thank you, Senator McGuire. Are there any further questions? Okay, with that, I would have Colleen Bridge from Providence Hospital, I guess. Are you online?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Okay. Did you have some comments? Have you been listening to testimony by the sponsor of the bill as well as Brittany Brewster from DNV?
Yes, I have. I am the administrator for affiliations and partnerships at Providence. I'm a lifelong homegrown Alaskan. I'm a registered nurse, and I've served on the Blood Bank of Alaska Board of Directors for 10 years. And as many of you longtime Alaskans know, we've benefited greatly across our state by the development of high-quality health care in communities that 10 or 20 years ago, or certainly when I was a child, didn't have health care. And that's been a great boon to all of us as Alaskans, particularly those of us who live in rural and frontier environments. But it also has created increasing demand on the need for blood and blood components, as Margaret Baker mentioned. The Blood Bank of Alaska has expanded its outreach significantly over the years that I've been on the board, and certainly the years I've worked at Providence as a nurse and a leader for over 30 years. And the Blood Bank has donation centers in Soldotna, in Anchorage, in Wasilla, and in Fairbanks. The Blood Bank also has a mobile coach that goes out to more remote locations to create awareness for blood donation and to obtain repeat donations, which is essential to the ability of our hospitals to carry out their missions and care for people. We really do believe at Providence that this is a very good bill, and we thank Senator McGuire for introducing it. We believe that any opportunity to raise awareness about the option of donating blood is a great opportunity, and just the act, as Senator McGuire indicated, just the act of reading the request or listening to the person at DMV or looking at it on your computer, whether you check it or not, it's a notation in your mind that there is a not-for-profit blood center in our state that serves basically all of our hospitals, and which is basically all of our population. And the increasing awareness is equally, if not more important, than the act of giving the dollar. And at Providence, I have a letter from my boss, Al Parrish, that has been submitted and is in support of Senate Bill 49. And, Madam Chair, I thank you very much and the rest of the committee for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Colleen. Is there any member that has any questions of Colleen Bridge at this time? Okay, thank you. And thank you, Senator McGuire. I think Senator Meyer certainly articulated well. We're concerned about a slippery slope, and then how many more will we add on? And as you know, Alaska has the largest per capita of nonprofits of any of the states. And, of course, since it's just in the incubator stage where you can use your PFD and check off on different I would be entertaining the thought of just waiting a couple years just to see if actually more money is going into the blood bank. But I think, like they said, in the spirit, Whitney certainly spoke to that well. I mean, what you're doing is certainly commendable, and I support it 100%. So I'm willing to, I guess, kind of move on this, but I am very nervous that other very well worthy causes will come forward and say that works so well. And then again, you know, DMV is somewhat sliding from, but I as you said, the link was articulated well, that yes, there are the accidents and you need the blood immediately. So it's really kind of perplexing in some ways.
I understand, Madam Chair, and thank you for that. And I think, again, the opportunity to make people aware, particularly at a point in time where they're renewing their commitment to driving and what that entails and all of the responsibilities and rights that comes with. You know, I had envisioned, and Jack Williams, who's the CEO of the blood bank, had envisioned being handed, much like with organ and tissue awareness, a card at the time that you donate or don't donate, that would let you know where you can donate blood. But I certainly understand the concern about the slippery slope, and would just again say that it's a combination of the money itself, but really more the awareness and the link to the number of accidents and fatalities and so on that we have on our roadways. And I would just note that Tim Benatendi, who's on the board, would like to speak. And with your permission,
I
have a meeting with DNR if it wouldn't offend the committee for me to go take that meeting.
Okay, thank you, Senator McGuire. I know I don't excuse another senator, so do what you have to do.
Thank you.
And I do apologize. Shelley Owens and Tim Benedettini is also here. So Tim or Shelley, who wants to come up for? You'll defer to Tim? Okay. Tim, please come forward and state your name, affiliation, please.
Madam Chair, since the sponsor left, I think we should move this to a subcommittee.
Okay.
No, just kidding.
That was tricky. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tim Benintendi. I'm staff to Senator Olson, but I'm appearing as a blood donor, and since December, having been put on the blood bank board. My personal experience in becoming a regular blood donor wasn't a function of promotions in the community or anything else, but I have been a regular blood donor since 1970, and I think I'm in my 26th gallon of lifetime giving. And all that means is I had it to give, people needed it, and I gave it. Everywhere I've lived, Colorado, California, North Carolina, and here, it was always pretty easy to give blood. And having done it up here now for 25 years, sooner or later, I guess my profile showed up, and they said, boy, you know, we could use you on the board possibly to help do some promotion or other activities, which I'm engaging in. But having said all that, generally when things go pretty well, you don't hear much, and generally we are pretty close to having the blood we need month in and month out in this state. But natural disasters, certainly after holiday weekends, things like that, the need goes up appreciably. And even though blood is donated free, when they have to buy blood from the lower 48, that just goes against the grain of a nonprofit that's usually got a pretty tight budget to begin with. And it costs, in some cases, hundreds of dollars for a unit of blood. So recognizing that we're always, I guess I won't say struggling exactly, but getting enough blood supply Alaska, and we serve virtually every hospital in the state, including the military bases and the Indian Health Service hospitals, it would help to have a promotional vehicle, and this bill, I think, presents a good opportunity. I do agree that there are some stresses with other competitive needs, very positive needs, that would like that forum with which to appeal to the public. But I would underscore Senator Meyer's observation that organs and blood and traffic accidents, they're tied close together invariably. And in, you know, in the rare case where somebody needs one of the rare types of blood, you might not be able to get it from Portland or Seattle in time to help somebody out. So Having said these comments, I'll just abbreviate it and see if I have any, if there are any questions.
Are there any members that have any questions from Tim, of Tim? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. At this time, I'll give one last opportunity if anybody on the phone or in the audience would like to speak. Seeing none, then I will officially close the testimony. If it's the will of the committee, we will move this bill, Senate Bill 49, out of State Affairs. It will have finance. Do I hear a motion?
Madam Chair, you want this to be moved to a
No.
Madam Chair, thank you. Gives me great pleasure to move Senate Bill 49 from committee with individual recommendations and attached $5,000 fiscal note.
Is there any discussion, any objection to that? Okay, having none. Okay. Thank you very much. With that, State Affairs is closed. Thank you.